The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. And thank you for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead and World Beyond online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to the doubleheader and mid-season finale of Season 6, Episode 7 of Fear, and technically the penultimate episode of World Beyond. Hold on a second. I got to correct my spelling of penultimate on my script. Technically, I don't know if it counts as the penultimate episode because there are two next weekend. So I suppose it's kind of a judgment call since they're going together. But Season 6 of Fear is doing the split season tradition, but only airing episodes 1 through 7, culminating tonight. According to website Bleeding Cool, Episode 7 will be the Fear mid-season finale instead of Episode 8. The following Thanksgiving Sunday, next weekend, November 29th, Walking Dead World Beyond will have a doubleheader Season 1 finale, airing Episodes 9 and 10 back-to-back. In addition, the virtual edition of the Chris Hardwick-hosted Talking Dead will air after both Fear and World Beyond tonight and will return only to AMC Plus for an exclusive episode next weekend, November 29th, after the World Beyond doubleheader. The Walking Dead universe's year wraps up in December with the AMC Plus exclusive The Walking Dead holiday special. Walking Dead Season 10 extra episodes set February premiere date. The six extra episodes of the Zombie Apocalypse series will begin airing. I have dates for you guys. Hello. February 28th, end of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All six episodes will debut early on the AMC streaming service, AMC Plus, every Thursday night prior to the linear premiere on Sundays. Guest stars in the new episodes will include Robert Patrick, Hillary Burton Morgan, and new co-star Okeha Eme Okwari. I apologize if I've butchered that. It's O-K-E-A. Last name, Eme-Akwari. Since they're going to be in the new episodes, I will endeavor to go around on the internet, see if I can find a pronunciation guide so I can be a bit more respectful about that. Okay, episode titles and synopses can be viewed below, but you can't view them, so we're going to read them. All right, Joan is here, and I'm going to pause real quick and thank her before we get into the article. So thank you for joining me, Joan. And she's poking me because one of our big running jokes on this show is the word penultimate because it's been used quite a bit. So let me pull up the article for you. It's from Variety. And it's Walking Dead Season 10 extra episode set February premiere date. It's by a gentleman named Joe Otterson. We have not used this source or this writer before. So I hope this works out. What's really key is that they give us the six mini episodes. So I want you guys to hear this. You heard it here, maybe not first, but definitely best and definitely early. Okay. The Walking Dead's extended season 10 will continue in February, AMC announced Thursday. The six extra episodes of the Zombie Apocalypse series will begin airing February 28th at 9 p.m. Mark your calendars. I will be here. All six episodes will debut early on the AMC streaming service AMC Plus every Thursday prior to the linear premiere on Sunday. Guest stars in the new episodes that I just read you, blah, 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 blah. Episode titles and synopsis view below. It was announced back in September that the extended season 11 of The Walking Dead will be the show's last, with stars Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride set to star in their own spinoff series. The Walking Dead World Beyond also recently launched on AMC. Those are two different sentences. I know that sounded odd. Okay, so here are the extended titles and synopses for those little six mini episodes. Episode 10, 17, Home Sweet Home. And I will compile this for you guys later, so we'll have a list. Maggie has returned with a story she's not ready to share, even when her past catches up to her. Negan's safety is at stake again. I'm sure these sentences are related. Daryl and Maggie fight an unseen and unknown threat. Directors David Boyd, writers Kevin Diebolt and Corey Reed, and they are all familiar faces. Episode 10, 18, Find Me. An adventure for Daryl and Carol turns sideways when they come across an old cabin. It takes Daryl back to the years where he left the group after Rick disappeared as he relives a time that only the apocalypse could manifest. Director David Boyd again. Writers Nicole Morante Matthews. That's a new face for the writers of this show, I believe. Next one, 10-19. Title is One More. Gabriel and Aaron search for food and supplies to bring back to Alexandria. Small tragedies lead to bigger tragedies as faith is broken and optimism is fragmented when they are put to the ultimate test. Director will be Laura Belzy. Writers are Eric Mountain and Jim Barnes. Jim is familiar. None of these other names are. And that's fine. It's great that they're bringing in some new people to do stuff. Very cool. Kind of a mix of familiar friends and giving new people a shot. Episode 10-20, Splinter. Eugene, Ezekiel, Yumiko, and Princess are captured and separated. So we have some movement on that plot that was kind of hanging because episode 16 took so long. Princess struggles with memories of her traumatic past and tries to escape one way or another with the help of Ezekiel. Director is Lauren Belzy again. Writers are Julia Ruckman and Vivian C. And those are familiar faces. Episode 10-21. Title is Diverged. Daryl and Carol come to a fork in the road and head their separate ways. Well, you know how that's going to end because they're having the other show, but whatever. Okay. Each going into their own type of survival mode, the easiest of challenges become much harder. Will their individual journeys be the tipping point needed to mend their friendship, or is the distance between them permanent? Ugh, I don't know why they bothered that, because you guys have already blown that one. Director is David Boyd. Writer is Heather Belson. And that name is not that familiar to me. Okay, so last one of the extended mini-episodes. Forgive my hiccups. Title is Here's Negan. Carol takes Negan on a journey, hoping to minimize the increasing tension. I imagine that has to do with Maggie. Negan reflects on the events that led him to this point and comes to a conclusion about his future. Director Laura Belzy again. Writers, another familiar name, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. Okay. So that is what's going on with the miniseries. Now we have some progress. I am very happy about that part. Okay, and along with that, here is an update on the back half of Fear. Give me a hot second. I will switch articles so that I can read this to you next. Okay, when does Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 return with new episodes? And they mean the back half. The expectation is Fear will air in Q2 following the February 28th start of the six new episodes, extending The Walking Dead Season 10. I was unclear if they meant it would show in the evenings as a doubleheader like we're doing now, but if that is not the case, and they don't say in the article, if we count six episodes of Walking Dead from February 28th and it's not a doubleheader, it would come on after this is over. So if you count six episodes, that would put it at April 4th, 2021, with nine episodes likely wrapping. Because remember, they had only seven tonight, so they will have nine left over instead of eight. And if you count ahead, nine episodes would wrap either May 23rd or 30th, depending if they double up anywhere or not. And I'm going to pull out the article for you guys, which will repeat a little of that. I'll skip over the stuff I told you. So this is comicbook.com, Cameron Bolomono, a familiar face as far as information for that. Okay, when does Fear the Walking Dead return? I did not read you this stuff earlier. I cribbed a little bit of it. The sixth season of The Walking Dead spinoff won't return to AMC with new episodes until 2021. The expectation thing I read you. Next sentence. Because AMC in March paused production on the remaining half season due to the burgeoning COVID-19 pandemic. This will be the first time a season of Fear does not air all of its episodes in the same year. Now, Walking Dead Classic has done that since the beginning, but Fear normally has not. Normally, they do spring, summer break, back in the late summer, going into fall for the Walking Dead Classic. Since its 15-episode second season in 2016, Fear traditionally takes an 8-week hiatus, typically in mid to late summer before resuming, as I just said. Fear first broke that tradition when its fifth season in 2019 took its shortest ever hiatus with a 3-week break, allowing the season to finish the week before the season 10 premiere of The Walking Dead. Now Fear looks to take its longest break between half seasons after airing its premature mid-season finale with episode 607, Damage from the Inside. That's tonight, very shortly. And then because Fear airs when The Walking Dead is off the air and vice versa, except for The Walking Dead season 8 finale and Fear season 4 premiere, which aired back-to-back when Morgan Jones crossed from one show to the other, it's expected Fear season 6 will return on or after April 4th, 2021, as I counted before. Okay, so now we know what they mean, that they don't mean they'll doubleheader. That date is when The Walking Dead airs Here's Negan, the sixth and final bonus episode of season 10. When Fear returns in 2021, it will be for an uninterrupted 9-week stretch launched by the untitled episode 6-8. Should Fear 6B begin just as Walking Dead 10C ends on April 4th, season 6 would come to an end on May 30th. The front half of the season, which so far aired just 6 episodes, is already making Fear season 6 the best rated season with audiences and critics. I find that very hard to believe, and I'm sure Joan will agree with me because we were big fans of the whole Kalatoka Walker season 4 stuff. Series stars Lenny James, Danae Garcia, and Jenna Elfman told comicbook.com about the health and safety protocols allowing Fear to resume production amid the pandemic, including thrice weekly COVID testing and on-set social distancing. Everybody's got to be wearing masks and different degrees of PPE. And it's not just being able to see people's faces, not being able to hug people hello is going to be a flake, particularly when we all get back together, James told us in an October interview. That's going to be kind of difficult. Season 6 sees Morgan's group of zombie apocalypse survivors split up and dispersed across western settlements by Virginia. The pioneer leader who is under attack from the ongoing seasons has yet revealed Big Bad. And that's going to come up soon. Actually, that is a tiny bit of a not quite spoiler for tonight. Okay. Now I've got one more for you. This week was the week of all the questions getting answered. Now you hammered me with everything all at once. Okay. So The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2, release date, cast, plot, and everything you need to know. Don't expect World Beyond Season 2 until late 2021 at the earliest. Let me pull this up. This is from Digital Spy. This is not one of our usual sources, but occasionally. And this is written by David Opie, O-P-I-E. And he says, Walking Dead World Beyond is definitely coming back for a second season, and we already know that because AMC announced the news ages before Season 1 even aired. In an official statement released at the start of 2020, AMC's Sarah Barnett said the spinoff is not imitating The Walking Dead either in substance or form. Not sure I agree with you, Sarah, but whatever. World Beyond is a 2-season closed-ended series that will tell a very specific and distinct story. Rumors suggest that World Beyond Season 2 will cross over more with The Walking Dead, and showrunner Matt Negrete exclusively confirmed to us that, quote, you will get answers as to potentially where Rick was taken, potentially setting up the spinoff Grimes movies franchise, too. But how will that happen exactly, and what does that mean for, quote, the Endlings? I'm not fond of that name, but whatever. Here's everything you need to know about The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2. Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2 release date, when will it return? final episode of season one airs in the UK on December 4th, followed by the US 2 days later on December 6th. Production has already started on season two, but given how many delays the TV industry has been plagued by recently, don't expect World Beyond season two until late 2021 at the earliest. Next question, Walking Dead World Beyond season two cast, who will be in it? Walking Dead franchise is notorious for surprising fans by killing off important characters, and that's even more true here, given the World Beyond already has an end in sight. Still, assuming that these characters all survive season one, expect to see them return in the second and final season of World Beyond. I'm just going to go read the character names. The actors are still so new to us that this is not doesn't roll off the tongue yet. So Iris Bennett, Hope Bennett, Silas, Elton, Felix, Huck, and Julia Ormond as Elizabeth Kublak, who is the CRM general or whatever. Expect to see more of Joe Holt as Leo Bennett and Natalie Gold as Lila Belshaw, two scientists with major links to the CRM. Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2 plot. What will the second season be about? Right now, it's tough to predict exactly what will happen in World Beyond Season 2, but what we do know is that more CRM secrets will be explained as the series unfolds. These could hint further at the zombie virus's origin and hopefully explain whatever became of Rick Grimes, too. I'm going to interject that they really missed an opportunity to make Eugene's little theory about having the secrets to solving this. I wanted to see him line up with the CDC or some kind of organization where he was telling the truth, because they've set that character up to drink and know things. And I feel like it was a giant rip that he didn't actually know. I thought that if anybody running around that world, that he would be one of the people who would know, because that's just how he has been the whole time. So maybe you guys can redeem yourselves and take advantage of that obvious plot line that you left dangling around. All right, back to the article. Speaking to Entertainment Weekly showrunner Matt Negrete, showrunner Matt Negrete talked about the genesis of World Beyond and revealed his hope to perhaps extend the show beyond season two. Matt, please don't. Like, this was all clear from the beginning, and there isn't any reason to fiddle. Think about World Beyond, quote, it was always about how can we make this feel different? How can we support expectations in a lot of ways? And one of those is not having it necessarily be open-ended. It shouldn't be open-ended. Matt, darling, please stop. All right. Quote, I'm kind of in two minds about it because right now we're breaking episode 7 of season 2 with the writers. And we've all fallen in love with these characters. So I think for all of us, we feel like we could write these characters forever. But at the same time, it's nice to be able to approach a series from beginning to end, kind of knowing what our ending is going to be and working toward that ending. It's not like, oh, we'll see what happens in season 6 or whatever. We're going to go 2 seasons. It's going to be 20 episodes total. It's challenging because there's a lot we need to fit into those 20 episodes. But at the same time, it's great to approach it knowing what you're working towards. Pro tip, Matt, don't have a whole season where you have the kind of place that they came from and have those kids be stupider than Judith and Carl about the outside world. They should be little killing machines and informed and everything else, and they're sheltered, and it's dumb. So there's all these episodes we didn't have to spend on them learning how to kill the empties. You know, if you wanted it to not be like the other two shows, don't be like the other two shows. There's pro tip. Okay, back to the article. So we're really looking at these two seasons as two very different feeling chapters of hopefully a very satisfying book. We'll see. We're closing in right now with the writers on the last few episodes, so we're getting down to the wire. It's exciting. I hope people dig it. The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2 trailer, when can we see a promo? While we wait for official footage of World Beyond Season 2, check out our interview with star Nico Tortorella, who discusses what it's like to play a queer superhero within the Walking Dead universe. I kind of missed that part somehow. Or maybe I didn't miss it, and now I've forgotten. I'm not clear on that. I'm going to run to the chat room and see what Joan has to say. She's probably been fussing at things I'm saying. Okay, so Joan has been adding while I'm reading. Oh, yes, Joan agrees very much with you on early fear being much better than the current season. Yes. Well, middle fear, I guess. Admittedly, this season so far has been slightly better than the previous two, but nowhere near season three. Was three the one with Kalataka? Because I thought that was four, but I might be wrong. It could be three, but whichever one was that whole thing. And I'm still team Emma Caulfield was wasted, and why the hell isn't she back? Just saying. Never letting that go, ever. And Joan also says, yeah, Matt, what the hell? Not very exciting World Beyond so far. It's really not. I'm really only here for the crossover and continuity. Nothing in this is compelling. It's, you know, and yes, I can point fingers and say stuff because, no, I have never worked on a show like Walking Dead, but I have told stories and I have written things and I've talked on this show about ideas for stuff that I think are fairly viable. So, oh yeah, so Joan has confirmed I was mistaken. Season three was the one with the ranch and Kalataka and that whole thing. So, okay. Let me go back to my notes. It is 8:51. We've got about 10 minutes more of notes that I can squeeze in here, which is okay because last week I kind of ran out of things to talk about. So it'll be okay, I think, that we have a little extra content going on. It'll keep me from babbling so much. Sorry. Fourth series news, breaking, hashtag The Walking Dead, will conclude in 2022 with an extended 24-episode 11th and final season. That's almost two seasons. in 2023 now, Angela Kang, better showrunner, will return to helm a fourth Walking Dead series starring Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride. The untitled fourth series will be an episodic road show style story and might involve prequels for some beloved characters now gone. That last part is extrapolation on my part from some stray snips in social media. There's an article with details at Skybound, and I'm trying to pull the link up, and it's not cooperating with me. Please do what you're told and let me read this to these fine people. Okay, so this one is from Skybound.com, who has partial control over the Walking Dead universe now. Like, it's come under their umbrella. So, this is back from September, written by Johnny O'Dell. Walking Dead to conclude with extended 11th season in 2022. Walking Dead, Cable's most popular show, based on Robert Kirkman's best-selling comic, will come to a close in 2022 with the 24-episode 11th and final season. Chief Content Officer Scott Gimple said in a press release, quote, it's been 10 years gone by, ha, 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 because that's like a pay-in to the first episode ever. And he spells it B-Y-E, like episode one, season one. What lies ahead, another episode, are two more to come and stories to tell beyond that. What's clear is that this show has always been about the living, made by a passionate cast, team of writers, producers, and crew, bringing to life the vision put forth by Robert Kirkman in his brilliant comic, and supported by the best fans in the world. He added, this will be a grand finale that will lead to new premieres. Evolution is upon us. The Walking Dead lives. Okay. I'm going to double check and see if Joan's got anything to comment. She is, like me, very happy that Angela Kang's going to come get hold of that because Angela has done a fantastic job of turning around Walking Dead Classic that was having a little trouble for a while. And we really wish that she would touch Fear and World Beyond because she's got the magic fingers. Okay, back to the article. It's 8:54, so let me try to get this done. Although this marks the end of the first series, the Walking Dead universe is far from over. Starting in 2023, Walking Dead showrunner Angela Kang will return with Scott Gimple to helm a spinoff series centered around Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride. According to the press release, AMC is also working with Gimple to develop a new, quote, Tales of the Walking Dead series, an episodic anthology with individual episodes or arcs of episodes focused on new or existing characters, backstories, or other standalone experiences. And these kinds of comments are where I got what I told y'all earlier. That I extrapolated out from that. The company, working closely with Gimple, is also developing a number of other new and innovative projects grounded in the Walking Dead universe. Finale stuff, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of other extra shit in there that really is just kind of repeats of what I said before. So we're not going to do that because it's 5 minutes till we go dark. Let me finish my notes. Since tonight's show is a doubleheader, we will run an hour longer than we normally do until 11. The Talking Dead returns tonight, and more on that later. I do have couch labels for you. All right, typically we start the show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., in 5 minutes, we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then rate the episode so far from 1 to 10, 1 being, oh my God, kill it, 10 being amazing and perfect, and give commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 anytime, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break when we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact at the link that we post on the Facebook page and my social media. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go to the each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Just click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. Tonight's episode of Fear is entitled Damage from the Inside. Official AMC synopsis is, when Dakota goes missing, Strand sends Alicia and Charlie on a search and rescue mission to find her. Meanwhile, an unlikely ally provides a new possibility of escape from Virginia. We have additional synopses as articles. I have two of them this week. I will pull up the first. I do not believe I'll get to both of them before we need to go dark, but that's fine. We'll have something to talk about at the break. The first one is from Fansided at UndeadWalking.com, one of our frequent sources. And they have to say, Sarah Beth Pollock, by the way, which is one of their regular writers. 3 minutes. Let's go. Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 mid-season finale has arrived. Where has time gone, really? April was 87 consecutive days, and now 6 weeks have flown by. Sure, the first half of the season is short one episode thanks to the pandemic, but in all seriousness, the first 6 episodes went by so quickly because they're frankly so incredibly amazing. Again, Sarah Beth, Joan and I are making faces at you. Even with one episode, the true mid-season finale, missing, it was clear in episode 6-6 that Barry here next to Jasper's leg was setting everything up for something big. The once-separated survivors were starting to come back together. I did take that as a hint. And June learned that Virginia was afraid of the people painting graffiti messages across her communities. Now is the time to start making some moves, and it seems very appropriate that Alicia and Charlie are part of this big mid-season finale as they go on a very important mission to find Virginia's sister. Okay, that is the last of that. It's 8:58, and I may be able to begin the other article. I do not think I'll finish it before the break. So this is comicbook.com, Cameron Bolomono. Fear the Walking Dead mid-season finale photos reveal scary new villain. So this will be your motive to come back and listen to what I've got to say at the first commercial break. So Cameron says, there are automatic video things happening on this page and they're screwing up my ability to read. You know what? It's actually less than a minute before we go dark, so I'm not going to read it. I'll read it all together to you guys at the first commercial break, I promise. I'm going to take a look at my notes and see if there's anything else I want to tell you guys. No, next is going to be writers and directors after we're done with this. So I'm going to pause all of that. Let's check and see if Joan has anything else to add. Not at this time. So let's go ahead. Let's go dark and get ready for tonight's episode. And I will talk to you guys at break number one. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:06. We're at the first break. And I'm going to start off with a 5.5. Only because I'm way less pissy and annoyed than I have been at the last couple of episodes in the beginning chunk. Joan and I were talking about the walkers going after the horse. As we have seen that in this franchise, but not that often. I know that there was allusions to it way back when the Atlanta crew was going towards Alexandria, and it was a episode that involved Abraham. I can't even remember that far back, but there was a huge thing of cows at one point, and they were so shocked because most people could not keep farm animals together that long because of that stuff, and they were losing them. So I was just commenting, how often do we see walkers eating animals? I know the horses in Walking Dead classic, but rarely. And Joe's like, yeah, why eat animals when there's so many tasty humans like Jenny around? And I noticed, away from the animals and back to the caravan that just got whacked or whatever, they took 6 or 7 escort out without noise calling attention to it. And the killed escort turned and got up awful damn quick. It was super weird. And Joan's like, yeah, of course they did. Texas has the fastest turning walkers in the series, at least as long as these writers are writing it. Yeah. So, you know, Andrew and Ian, can you please, I don't think it's the writers, I think it's the showrunners, stop screwing around with established canon quite so much. It makes the show unwatchable. Joan is agreeing with me about the 5.5 because she likes Strand and she thinks there's a glimmer of the old Strand coming out. Yes, I absolutely think there is. And I also think there's a glimmer of the new and improved old Daniel coming out. And I think these things are all going to line up shortly. All right. So 908, that's what's going on. And we are already, are we already back? Yes, we are already back. So I'll shut up. I'll talk to you guys at break number 2 with that article for you. Okay, guys, 9:17 took a long chunk until break number 2. I am going to go to 5:75. Joan is staying put at 5:5, and I really had to think about it for a minute, so I can understand that. Last we were talking that we hadn't told you guys. We were fussing about the writing, and we had observed, you know, the writers answered to the showrunners, and my point was, I think the showrunners are ordering the writers to do some silly things, and Alicia's being a serious bitch about these things with Strand. I understand he sent her off, but it's like she's not even listening to why he did it. And those guys have all been through so much together, they're supposed to be on the same team, and him telling her why he did it wasn't good enough. She's acting like she doesn't even know him again. They've all done this dance. They've worked this stuff out. I don't know where this is even coming from. And Jonah said, hopefully we'll get some of the old Alicia back. And what she means is seasons 2 and 3 at the water dam and then the ranch. And let's see. So Jonah's also saying, starting to see a bit with that little FU exchange she just handed Strand. You know, we're fussing about how Alicia's acting. And Charlie has grown up quite a bit. She's not quite so childlike anymore. And then somebody, Alicia and Charlie were saying, you know, who did that to the walker? And they made it green and bubbly. And at first I kind of thought it was one of those nuclear infected ones, but then I realized they were in a different region when that plot line went down. They're not there anymore. So that may not be it. And Joan says she's not sure about that either. So they cut this walker up, painted it green, tried to make it look like a green goblin or whatever. And then we run into taxidermy guy tonight, and this is part of that big plot twist that they said was going to happen out of tonight's episode. And Joe says, Dr. Frankenstein, perhaps. And Jonah's our scores, and then Jonah said, Alicia's acting like the spoiled team from season 1. And that's not what I meant when it said the old Alicia. Yeah, me neither. I'm looking for the Alicia that first started that weapon. That was a badass and held off all the walkers to protect those kids and did a whole bunch of stuff that was useful and together and all that. Yeah, we want that Alicia back, please. So I'm not sure who we talked to get one, but that's what we want. All right, So I had an article queued up for you guys that I need to get to real quick. That was comicbook.com, Cameron Bulamoto, on Fear. Okay. It's a Texas Walker massacre in the mid-season finale of Fear the Walking Dead. In episode 6-7, Damage from the Inside, Alicia and Charlie investigate unusual Walker activity brought to their attention by Victor Strand. When they come across an especially deformed Walker that appears to have been taxidermied. So, Joan, you may have been right. That might be what they were fussing about. Charlie points out that, quote, whoever did that is crazy. A trailer for the episode reveals Alicia and Charlie break into a fortified home and find a fright-filled workshop, which is the same we just did, where Ed, Raphael Sparge, dresses up the dead for as-yet-revealed reasons, and he's seemingly not doing it alone. This is no longer considered a spoiler because it does have material from the trailers and from the scene we just saw. First photos from the mid-season finale I will tell you about in a hot minute because I'll go to break number three. Alicia's waking up and we're going dark. Thanks. Okay, guys, 9:31. We're at break number three. It was a big chunk in between. Let's see. I need to give a rating. I was at 5.75. I'm willing to go to a 6, but like Joan, I think this may be it unless some different things change a little bit. It's an improvement, but it's not enough of an improvement to go too much higher. Now we know where Charlie is. Joan was asking earlier. And she says, yeah, I would totally bring my family to my creepy lab for a vacation and to get away. I don't know how creepy it was when the family was still here. Hard to say. We did observe the walker on the table being messed with was a ranger. It had that green key symbol on their jacket. Joan is at 5.75 and not feeling like she can really justify too much higher right now. And I kind of know the feeling I'm at 6. I'm about in the same place. So let me go over to my article that I was holding and not reading to you yet. I got like one paragraph in. So it's 9:32. Let's see what else we can do. First photographs of the mid-season finale show Alicia outside the same house that is descended upon by embalmed zombies in the episode's trailer and a half-season trailer released in April. These weird walkers, which have animal parts stitched or welded to their grotesque bodies, batter down the door as Alicia is strapped to a table inside this little shop of horrors. In what might be a spoiler, well, it's not now, an armed Ed confronts Alicia with Dakota by his side. Strand sent Alicia and Charlie out to find the protected younger sister of Virginia, whose settlements are under threat from the hostiles behind spray-painted messages of the end is the beginning. Earlier this season, Althea grappled with an embalmed walker inside a funeral home, and June fought off a blade-fingered walker. I'm a little confused about the embalmed walker, because if you haven't completed the embalming, they could come back. So I'm not sure why that was weird, but okay. I'm also watching to see, make sure we're in commercial still. Yes, we are. I will continue. When this enemy group provoked a deadly explosion of Virginia's oil fields, it took Jenny's hand and nearly killed Wes. Sabarge's television credits, the actor playing Ed, include roles in TNT crime drama Murder in the First and fantasy series Once Upon a Time, where fierce showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg served as writer-producers. Sorry, guys, I'm really not feeling in love with y'all, what you have done to this series. I really am not embarrassed to say that, and I really wish you guys would take some of our advice. Okay, back to the quotes. Very excited about next week's episode. We teased this week's Bear Here Next to Jasper's Leg as there will be blood in the apocalypse. Goldberg told Entertainment Weekly about the mid-season finale. And for Damage from the Inside, it is a zombie apocalypse riff on some themes and ideas you might find in movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I suppose. And then there's photos. I'm just scrolling down, and there are no more article stuff after that. Just watching the end of the commercial and getting ready to pull up my next link for you guys. We're about to go into writer and director's profiles for Fear. Tonight's episode of Fear was written by Jacob Pinion, P-I-N-I-O-N, and directed by Tanya McKiernan. All right, we're still in commercials, so let's do Jacob's bio. These are new people for me. There is no personal biographical data that I could find on Jacob. Not without getting all stalkery, anyway. Jacob has had some smaller acting and post-production credits in IMDb starting around 2012. We are back. I'll tell you more about Jacob at break number four. Okay, guys, it's 9:42, and we are at break number four, so let's go ahead and get those scores up, and I'm going to stay with my six. Joan's at her 575. We have a new listener in the channel, and John Connor, 1235, you're welcome to join the party. We usually go and rate the sections of the show during the commercial breaks, so welcome. Let's give you some welcome applause. Thanks for joining us. If you're interested in rating along with us, you're welcome to do that. Joan has mentioned that she almost went to six just for Charlie, but not yet. You know, I'm kind of feeling the Charlie love, too. John Connor has run away and does not want to party with us, but that's fine because we're doing all right with our little gathering. Okay, so let me go back. Let's see, we've done the article and everything else, so let's do writers and directors profiles. We did a little bit of Jacob Pinion, so let's do the rest. Jacob has had some smaller acting and post-production credits in IMDb starting around 2012. He is known for his work on Dress Up with George B. Stile, 2014, Middle Stage, 2014, and Fabio Knows Best, 2014. He has director's credits for Dress Up, Middle Stage, and Fabio Knows Best. He has producer's credits for Fanfare in 2014, Dress Up, Middle Stage, Fabby, and is currently in pre-production on a dramatic short called Company, directed by Jamie and Jason Neese. He has associate producer credits for comedy What's Your Emergency in 2015. He has writer's credits for Dress Up, Fanfare, Middle Stage, Fabby, and Company. Jacob's first work with the Walking Dead franchise was to be a writer's production assistant during season 4 of Fear for only 9 episodes of the 16 in 2018. The second thing that he did in the franchise was a writer's assistant for all of season 5 of Fear during 2019. His third work in the Walking Dead franchise is writing all 6 episodes of the Althea tapes, which is a mini-series airing on the Walking Dead YouTube channel over 2019. It's still up now, and you guys can go see it. Tonight is his fourth task within the franchise and first time writing an episode for any of the main series in the Walking Dead franchise. All right, director Tanya McKiernan. Tanya McKiernan is an American television producer and director. Since the mid-1990s, she has amassed a number of directorial credits. She is also the daughter of late television producer Stephen J. Cannell and his wife, Marcia, and has 3 siblings. She attended the University of the Pacific from 1987 to 1992. Tanya is married to Timothy McKiernan. She resides in the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains in Sierra Madre, California, with her husband, 3 kids, dog, and cat. And are we back? No, but probably we'll be soon. The Stand is coming on CBS All Access, which I don't have. Oh, no, we have a Taco Bell commercial, so we can keep talking. Let's talk about Tanya. McKiernan made her directorial debut in the series Renegade, directing 2 episodes. She then directed 4 episodes of Silk Stockings. Both series were produced by her father, Stephen J. Cannell. Her other television work include VIP, Hunter, the revival series, 10-8, Officers on Duty, NYPD Blue, Johnny Zero, The Closer, Blue Bloods, Bones, Las Vegas, E-Ring, Windfall, Eyes, Close to Home, Women's Murder Club, ER, Army Wives, Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles, Monk, In Plain Sight, Royal Pains, Warehouse 13, Psych, The Mentalist, Criminal Minds, Blind Spot, and The Magicians. And we're back. I'll stop reading, and I'll see you guys at break 5. Okay, guys, it's 9:51. And you know what? I am actually willing to go to 6.25 after that last bit because Morgan and Joan has gone up to 6. We're just inching up a tiny bit. You know, we're still not feeling a lot of love, but tonight has been better. And when Morgan just showed up, I was totally going to baw. And I'm wondering if Ed helped Morgan, but Joan has a theory, and hers might be better. She was wondering if maybe the father of baby Morgan was the one who helped him. And that's also possible. So, you know, that could be what's going on. Joan is at 6. I'm at 6.25. And I finished the article. And so we are doing Tanya McKiernan's bio, and we had to interrupt that. Okay. So I read like a whole bunch of shows that she's worked on. In 2012, she directed the TV movie Secrets of Eden, starring John Stamos. She's a co-chair member of the Directors Guild of America. In 2016, she was the writer of the Fox Revived series of The A-Team. I'm fuzzy if that ever made it. I don't remember it ever being finalized, but she was working on it. Tanya has most recently been working on developing the remake of Greatest American Hero for Fox. And there's actually kind of a story to that. I don't have time to share it right now, but if you go to Wikipedia and look her up, there's something about an accident on the original Greatest American Hero show, and the accident accidentally killed her brother. So that might be why she's involved. It's complicated. Anyway, directing tonight's episode is her first work in the Walking Dead franchise. I wanted to get that out of there, and then I want to give them some applause for working on the show. Joan has also remarked, you know, with better writing, we might actually be up to a 7 or an 8 in the scores by now. Take note, idiot showrunners. Yeah? I say this every week. We fuss against you guys. It's getting better, but there's a lot of room for improvement. Okay, trivia for tonight's episode of Fear, and we're going to bleed over into World Beyond, but that's fine because last couple episodes we used up all the material and I was stalling, honestly. Trivia about tonight's episode of Fear is the 76th episode of Fear overall. First appearance of the character Samuels, Ranger Samuels. First appearance of Ed. This is the second mid-season finale of Fear the Walking Dead that's not the 8th episode of the season, the first one being Shiva Season 2, Episode 7. And we've still got all the time. Co-stars tonight, Justin Smith as Marcus, a pioneer. Bobby Grace as Ranger Samuels, a pioneer. We know what happened to her. No listing of uncredited people, no deaths as of yet. Obviously, they don't do that for the current episode. Last episode, trivia, from Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg. We may not have time for too much right now. First and last appearance of Paige, of Malcolm, and Marianne. Last appearance of the location of Tanktown. The title of this episode, Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg, refers to Virginia's orders to Marcus and Hill after Paige commits suicide at the beginning of the episode. This episode marks Jenna Elfman's 25th appearance on Fear the Walking Dead. June refers to the events of Another Day in the Diamond when she comments that she and Luciana met in a similar situation to the oil problem at Tanktown. The same group that caused the plague in Alaska appears to have caused the new oil well to blow at Tanktown. Virginia insists that this group is the true threat and that they care more about killing people than saving them. We are back. See you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, I'm going to sneak in here real quick because there's usually not much of a break before we roll over into World Beyond. It's 10:01. Joan's ending in a 6. I'm ending in a 6.25. And both of us are annoyed with Alicia and Morgan going back and forth and being the dumb one. And finally, Morgan broke that pattern. All right, I'm going back to the trivia. But no, I may not have time. Oh, yeah, no, we do have a commercial. Let's see. Okay, what can we do? We're going through trivia from the last episode. June mentioned the days of Another Day in the Diamond. I predict character Madison is coming back because people have fussed about her being killed. We never saw her die. I didn't think that location was as close as Alicia's making it sound, but We will see. My knowledge of Texas geography is really bad. Virginia is bitten on the hand by a walker. This is the trivia, but has it amputated by June, saving her life. John leaves the Pioneers without June. It's now a week later after that. Several injured workers, including Marianne, have lines in this episode, but all are left uncredited, even though they are named. Co-stars already mentioned last week as the current trivia, so no changes to that. Uncredited characters. Carl Thomas as James, a pioneer. Mike Lawler as Pete from Tanktown. And the actress who plays Marianne, the pioneer working Tanktown who quit, is unknown. They don't list who that is. Okay, deaths from last week. Paige, suicide in the opening scene. Dr. Holt, cause not stated. It's only mentioned after the fact. Malcolm was on June's operating table. Marianne is alive and zombified, and at least 30 unnamed Tanktown workers alive and zombified, and no goofs and bloopers listed. All right. Cast birthdays this week. Try to squeeze them in. Andrew James West, Gareth, leader of Terminus, is today, and he was born in Merrillville, Indiana. Denise Michelle Crosby, who was Mary in Terminus, November 24th. She's from Hollywood, California. And Kirk M. Acevedo, who played Mitch in the Martinez camp at Woodbury, November 27th, and he's from Brooklyn. Happy birthday, guys. All right, trying to chug along because usually World Beyond doesn't give us such a big break here. Featured music from last episode, episode 6. The song Opus by Eric Prydz, P-R-Y-D-Z, was the song playing at the end. Unaccounted for characters, we're skipping Talking Dead tonight. Good, we have a Taco Bell commercial, so we can talk about Talking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead's Lenny James and Coleman Domingo talk about the mid-season finale with Chris and Aaliyah Royale, Hal Cumston, and Annette Mahendru give inside info on tonight's episode of World Beyond. Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 lineup, Episode 8, will air again February 28th, 2021. Pencil it in now, and then we'll be on hiatus in between until then. And thank you guys for sticking with us. We are now transitioning from the Fear up to the World Beyond, and we're actually still astonishingly at a commercial. Now we're not. Okay, going dark for World Beyond. See you guys at break number one of that. Okay, guys, it's 10:14, and we are at commercial break number one of tonight's episode of World Beyond. This is funny. Usually I'm just a skosh higher than Joan, but right now I'm kind of feeling like 5, and Joan's feeling like 5.5, and that's fine and well. Alrighty, so just as a reminder, we ended tonight's episode of Fear, Joan at a 6 and me at 6.25 earlier. And the whole, like, which one's going to be dumb, Strand or Alicia dance, that was getting exhausting and irritating. So I don't know what's up with that. Anyhow, I want to go back to my notes. just so you know, tonight's episode of Walking Dead World Beyond, Season 1, Episode 7, The Sky is a Graveyard. Synopsis, a horrible discovery finds the group at a crossroads and prompts one of them to revisit past trauma. Additional synopses I actually have been pulling up, so let's go ahead and pull that article up for you guys, and we'll see if I do have time to read it or not. At the moment, we're in a commercial, so things are promising. So this is from the source ReadySteadyCut.com, which I've never used before. It's written by Jonathan Wilson, and Walking Dead, World Beyond, Season 1, Episode 8, Recap, Sky is a Graveyard. And I guess we are getting a preview of Talking Dead later tonight. It looks like, I think. I have it muted, so I'm not sure. But the characters are all people that are on a Walking Dead classic on the Talking Dead. We are back. I will cover the article at break number two. Okay, guys. Joan is at 575, and she's staying there. I was at 525. I'm willing to go to 55. Last little segment, I had a sound problem. So I told you guys a bunch of cool stuff, and I was talking to myself, and nobody got to hear it. All right, so I guess I will go back and read part of the article again. Joan was wondering if they're trying to go for multiple personality disorder with Silas, which is a side effect of child abuse or childhood trauma. On the other show that I do, we have done a show on multiple personality disorder. It has another name that they use now, and I'm blanking on what it is. But it's not really my bailiwick. And Joan has said she's thinking of other media, but not sure any of it's based on true stories, Sybil or Three Faces of Eve. Three Faces of Eve is absolutely not only true, but I have met the woman that it's based on because she had some connection to my high school. And her name is Chris Sizemore. She would come and give a lecture in the psychology class. And it was kind of a big thing at the school. Like everybody got to come and see her lecture at least once. So yeah, that part was true. But their understanding of that disorder back in like the 50s and 60s and whatnot has drastically changed from what they understand today. So at any rate, we could get into that another time. That's my other show. But Joan is at 575. I'm at 55. And I'm going to go back to the article I was reading you guys about A Sky's Graveyard, which mentions a bunch of stuff that we just saw in the last scene. So not too much spoiler now. So the article is from ReadySteadyCut.com. I read you a tiny piece of it, but I'm going to keep going now. So they said, you'll recall that at the end of last week's episode, it looked very much like not-so-gentle giant Silas stowed Uncle Tony's head in. As we rejoin the gang in The Sky is a Graveyard, opinion is very much split on the matter, kind of like Silas's dad's face. They don't say that in the article. That's me. While a tearful Silas sobs outside, bound and captive, the others debate what might have happened. Have they seen Silas lose it before? Indeed. Is Percy dead, too? Probably. His blood trailed down to a river with a current he couldn't possibly have fought. Parenthetically, he definitely isn't dead, but whatever. Perhaps most importantly, does Silas have cause to hurt people trying to help them? Huck thinks so, citing his bag full of Iris's drawings as evidence. I object to her interpretation of that, but then again, I know a bit more about people that are like the personality that they're portraying with Silas. So, anyhow, they say, for us ends, we dip into more Silas flashbacks as we see him flip out and batter his abusive dad's face into mush. In the present day, Silas's fondness for Iris is being pushed as probable cause, especially since she was getting pretty close to Percy. While Huck and Felix debate what to do with him, Elton goes to speak to Silas, since he, quote, disagrees with their hypothesis. Parenthetically, nobody speaks like that. I yelled at the author in the last segment. I didn't get to be heard because I was silent. Yes, people do speak like that. Get the F over it. Elton thinks that Silas only resorts to violence to protect those he cares about, and he resolves to find proof he wasn't involved in Tony's death. In further flashbacks, we see Silas being offered help from a neighbor, who's obviously very familiar with the situation on account of the thin walls. She'd like to speak with Silas's mother over, quote, the piece of human refuse she calls a father. She's at work. And calling the cops is not a good idea since Silas's dad is on the floor in the hallway. Except, after sending the nice lady on her way, Silas turns around to discover he isn't anymore. When Felix speaks to Silas, the lad explains his dad used to, and this was grammatically fucked up, they said it funny. His dad used to his blackouts. I'm thinking his dad used to have blackouts that were similar, after which he couldn't remember things, too. He's scared of being like him, which Felix can understand, but it doesn't really help the decision-making process. Little Willy Wonka commercial going on, kind of fun. In a flashback within a flashback, Silas recalls happier days of his dad being a perfectly pleasant, doting father. Is having two extreme personalities just typical of an abuser, or did something happen to Silas's father to trigger his outburst? Personalities like that are not typical of an abuser. Usually an abuser is a cluster B. We are back. We'll see you guys at break number 4, I think. Okay, it's 10:45. The show is running over time, so just as a heads up, we're cutting off at 11. The show probably won't. So sorry about the incompleteness of that. As far as scores, I was under Joan, but I'm going to come up to 5.75. She's kind of just holding steady there, and I'm creeping up. I was calling just in the last scene wondering either his mom went and killed the dad or dad got up because he became a walker. And apparently that was dad's a walker. Oh, and Joan says, explains his reluctance to kill walkers. And if he doesn't deal with that, mom will be too when she comes home. Yeah. Okay. So back to the article. The whole issue begins to cause a bit of a rift between Iris and Hope, too, since Iris is very much on Ulton's side, refusing to believe that Silas killed Tony, or at least without good reason, whereas Hope has taken on Huck's advice that every decision she makes needs to further her efforts to find Leopold. She's also curious about how many chances people should get, given she hasn't forgiven herself for the one major mistake she made, shooting Ulton's mother, and Silas has made several that the whole gang is aware of. Hope says to Ulton that this is a lost cause, which seems a bit defeatist to me. But he's very hung up on the idea of everyone being a family and of a family helping each other no matter what, which is obviously clouding his judgment when you consider that Silas might have actually beaten someone to death. In the past, we see Silas search for his missing father upstairs, finally finding him zombified. He must have succumbed to the beating. While he takes shelter in his room, he remembers another positive interaction with his dad. And once again, there's no indication that at this point he was anything like how he ended up. I don't agree. But anyway, if The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 1, Episode 8 is trying to make a point here about the conflicting duality of domestic abuse, how the awful memories are wrapped up in the good ones, it isn't doing a very good job, but props for trying, I suppose. Dear author, go read some psychology articles before you comment on pathologies you clearly don't understand. Silas's musical interlude is interrupted when his mother returns home and almost ends up as his dad's entree. I think I'm going to stop right here because we're venturing into spoiler territory. We're going to pause. And we have a McDonald's commercial right now, and I'm kind of hoping we go back to the show in a hot minute so I don't have to stall for very long. Let me go to my notes after the article and keep going on that stuff because I may not get to read anything else. World Beyond was written by Elizabeth Padden and directed by Lauren Iaconelli. Elizabeth Padden is an American writer and director. Nothing much is known about her personal bio details. There's a lot of those tonight. Her IMDb work starts in 2011, directing and writing romantic comedy short We Make Machines. Other work was on the show Ice as a script coordinator, Switched at Birth, Script Cord, Future Man Script Cord, The Oath 2018, Things That Fall, and Altered Carbon, Executive Story Editor 2020. She's also done some unspecified work on the Umbrella Academy, according to her Twitter profile. Elizabeth has been an executive story editor for World Beyond for all of Season 1. Tonight's her first episode written for the Walking Dead franchise. Director Lauren S. Iaconelli. There is nothing much known about Lauren's bio or personal details. She has 2 director's credits, both for TV shows in 2019. 7 cinematographer's credits since 2014, Ray Donovan, Bones, House of Lies, Shameless, The Chi, and Animal Kingdom. She has 28 camera and photography credits back to 1999, including a whole list, but also Heroes, True Blood, Glee, Bones, and many more. Directing tonight's episode is the first work of any kind she has done within the Walking Dead franchise, and let's give them some acknowledging applause for that. And we are back. I'll see you at the next break. Well, I may not. We're getting close to the top of the hour. But anyway, thanks. Okay, guys, it's 10:57, so I'm going to be gone in 3 minutes. But I'm going to put up a semi-final score. Not really quite ready yet, but I'm going to a 6, and I may stay there. We predicted the dad being a walker thing. We wonder why his bedroom door was cut open at the bottom. And Joan says, kind of wondering that too, like a prison and food slid under the door, and she's going to go to a six. There's a lot of stuff I didn't get to read you guys about tonight's episode, and I may attempt to read that off next week, since we're doing all World Beyond stuff anyway. So anyhow, thank you for joining me, Joan. Thank you for those who have stuck out this far. And I'm just going to lurk with the time I've got left. Let me go ahead and try to read what I can. World Beyond trivia and notes for tonight's episode. Tonight, obviously, is the 8th episode ever of World Beyond. First appearance of the character Mrs. Plaskett, who was Silas's mom. First appearance of Ruth, a function unknown at the time, who I think is the neighbor. First appearance of Frank Newton, function unknown, I don't remember. And last appearance of Tony Delmato, who was the magician guy that got killed. Co-stars Catherine Tabor, Silas's mom. Braxton Bjerken, B-J-E-R-K-E-N, I don't know how to say that, Bjerken, as young Silas Plaskett. Jenny Fawn as Ruth. Robert Palmer Watkins as Lieutenant Frank Newton. No uncredited people and no deaths listed, obviously. We've got 90 seconds left, so I'm going to stop at the trivia for last week and just say thank you to you guys, and I will see you next weekend for the doubleheader of World Beyond. Talking Dead is after this, so stick around if you want to see it. All righty. Thanks, guys.